Praise the Lord.
So good to be home. I was jumping from one timeline to another timeline, and my body just don't know where it needs to be adjusted. But I've seen so many good things as I go through. You know, the whole journey of this thing started last year. Pastor Lim, you guys know Pastor Lim, right? One who works for the North Korean Refugee Ministry. And he asked me to go to a certain church and want me to speak there. So I did. And then the pastor of that church, the name of that church is a pure church, a church of purity, 정결한 교회 in Korean. And so pastor approached me and said, hey, can you take my young people to America and lead a mission trip? Because I want them to learn why America is so blessed by God. That was the whole purpose of that. And so I was about to take them to Alabama, and that didn't really work out. And so for one of the things that I told them, he said, hey, let me pray about it. I wanted to hear what does the Lord have to say about this. So I went into prayer and sought the Lord about it, and the Lord gave me approval. He said, I want you. And one of the things the Lord was speaking to me was this. He said, you know, if the North and South Korea come together and unify, how the South Korea going to change the North Korea? Because their ideology is totally different. And one of the things that Lord gave me was Christian education, because that's what I am in. And in order to change the young people with Christian education, you need a young people to be changed. And young peoples are the key for the next generation. You know why our nations are so messed up? Because our young peoples are so messed up. Because the college professors are messing them up. So we need to reverse them back with the Lord's words, God's words. You know, and the Lord gave me the word. He said, hey, the South Koreans are going to a same pattern right now. Do you guys know that? Korea is supposed to be the gigantic of a Christian nation in Asia. 25% to 30% Christian. But that's only for first generation. But Korea right now, among young people, only 5% Christian. And they're decreasing really fast. So the South Koreans are taking a step to where our Americans are taking right now. And that pastor, we had really good lunch and went to the cafe and talked. And he poured out his heart. He said, Pastor Hong, I know Korea does incredible work in mission. We do all those things. But I am fearful of this nation's future. Because when I look at my young people, they are not walking with God and they are falling away from the Lord. And there is no future for Korea if our next generation do not walk in with God. Sounds familiar? I think it's the same story that America is hearing. And that is the reason why Pastor Lee was telling me to take them to America. And that Lord said, and Lord turned the whole thing. And he said, I want you to take them to Mexico. I said, okay, God, because I used to do, my wife knows, to a Mexico mission for 10 years with Oscar, with the young people, and a lot of them get changed. But boy, when you go down to Mexico, there's a big roaches. Do you guys know that? There's a huge roaches. One of them is really afraid of roaches, by the way. Yeah, the roaches, the size of dollar bill, by the way, right? Size of dollar bill. So they got big roaches. There's no air condition. There's no flushing toilet. You're talking. And then on top of that, do you guys know there is an active cartel going on? We actually had a checkpoint that was run by cartel with guns and everything to try to stop us. And so we have to kind of avoid that. And wisdom of the Oscar that we were able to do that. But we had lots of fun. God really blessed them and touched them. And it was an incredible moment for them. Plane got delayed, so we had to spend a night in San Antonio. In San Antonio, they have a really good church called Cornerstone, John Hagee's church. And so we went there, and, you know, the man was fearless. John Hagee was actually preaching about assassination of Trump, the tribe, and man, he was going at it, you know, and he wasn't really holding back at all. And so I was just, it was just a powerful message, and the team had to, had a chance to experience what Spirit-filled church is like. So we put all that together in a video, and so you're going to see that from the time. By the way, I went on June to train the team every weekend, and in that team, the training was involved. Remember Sam? He's an Air Force captain now in Osan. So he came, and he became one of the speakers. Remember George, the brother who came and got baptized? He came over, and he gave us, he spoke to the team and got everybody. So there is the a footstep of the door of faith in Korea right now, and what God is doing in a powerful way. So I want you guys to pay attention and look at the a video, and then from there, the team going to come and minister to you guys. All right. Praise
God. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. 지금 저희가 한국에서 좀 준비해온 특송을 좀 시작하려고 합니다. 함께 아시는 분들은 같이 찬양 불러주시면 감사하겠습니다.
I'm going to sing. Well, our team's going to sing some of the Korean songs that we have prepared from Korea. So those of you who knows, please follow.
비록 내게 느껴지지 않아도 일하시네 일하시네 주님
한국에서 온 24살 최용학이라고 합니다.
My name is 최용학. I came from Korea. I'm about 24 years old.
예, 저는 어렸을 적부터 어머니 손에 이끌려서 교회에 나오는 평범한 교회 소년이었습니다.
I was forced to go to church by my mom ever since I was little.
말씀 시간만 되면은 졸거나 딴짓을 하며 하나님의 말씀 그 어머니께 혼나는 신앙생활이 반복되었습니다.
When I was a little, I forced to come to church, and I normally fall asleep or doing something else during the message, or really didn't pay attention to gospel at all.
초등학교 고학년이 되면서 아프다는 핑계를 대며 점점 교회에 빠지고자 노력했었습니다.
So when I become elementary school, that I told my mom that I'm sick and I really don't want to go to church, so I started not going to church.
하지만 어머니께서는 그런 저를 포기하지 않으셨습니다.
But my mom never gave up on me.
결국 교회에 끌려 나오는 제 모습을 보면서 저는 한 가지 결과를 알게 되었습니다.
She always dragged me to the church no matter what, in spite of what I said. But I start to realize something as I start going to church.
아, 부모님으로부터 독립하기 전까지는 내 인생에서 교회는 벗어날 수 없는 곳이겠구나.
I realized that I can never be independent from my mom long as my mom lives.
제가 중학생이 되었을 무렵 교회를 다니는 시간이 아까웠습니다.
And so when I become a middle school, you know, going to church, the time that I spend in church seemed to be useless.
어떻게 보면은 인생의 7분의 1은 교회에 나오게 되는 것이니까요.
Because I realized that one-seventh of my life is going to spend in church.
그렇기에 저는 생각을 바꿨습니다.
And so I said, I might as well give up and just follow my mom.
이 시간을 피할 수 없는 순간이라면 학교 수업과 같이 귀 기울여 말씀을 들어보자.
And so I finally come to a conclusion. If I cannot avoid this, might as well I start to listen to what they have to say.
왜냐하면 그들도 나쁜 걸 이야기하려는 건 아닐 테니까요.
I'm sure that they are not going to really teach me anything bad.
그런 다짐을 하고 처음으로 듣게 된 말씀이 바로 예수님께서 말씀하신 원수를 사랑하라였습니다.
And so when I start to listening to the what our pastor said, and one of the things that really comes to me was that God, Jesus said, "Love your enemy."
마태복음 5장에서 예수님은 다음과 같이 이야기하십니다.
Matthew chapter 5 said this is what Jesus said.
나는 너희에게 이르노니 너희 원수를 사랑하며 너희를 박해하는 자를 위하여 기도하라.
He said, I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you.
너희가 너희 사랑하는 자를 사랑하면 무슨 상이 있으리요? 세리도 이같지 아니하느냐?
If you love those people who love you, what is that good for? Because even a tax collector and prostitute do the same.
또 너희가 너희 형제에게만 무난하면 남보다 더하는 것이 무엇이냐? 이방인들도 이같지 아니하느냐?
Even the if you love those people who love you, even a Gentile do the same thing.
그러므로 하늘에 계신 너희 아버지의 온전하신과 같이 너희도 온전하라.
And so just like what heavenly Father is perfect, you ought to be perfect.
예수님의 말씀을 이 시대에 적용을 해보면,
And so when you apply that into our 21st century,
교회에 안 다니는 사람들도 자신의 이웃과 형제는 사랑한다.
Even all of us know how to love those who love us.
그럼 교회에 다니는 하나님의 자녀라면 그들보다도 더 나아가 원수조차 사랑할 줄 알아야 한다.
If the unbelievers know how to love those people who love them, doesn't it a believer should do a lot more than that?
또 그들을 위해서 기도를 할 줄 알아야 한다.
And we ought to pray for those who doesn't love us.
사실 저의 아버지는 술에 취하시면 술이 깨기까지 욕설이나 심한 말씀을 가족들에게 하였습니다.
There's one person that I just could not love. That's my dad. Because when he gets drunk, he curses, he hits, he become a person that I really bitter against.
평소에 아버지는 좋아하였지만 술에 취한 아버지는 가족들을 항상 힘들게 하였습니다.
When he's not drunk, he's a really good person. But when he become drunk, that he really give all the family a hard time.
매일 매일을 술에 의존하시면서 저녁부터 밤이 되어 주무시기 전까지 집안에서의 아버지의 욕설은 멈추지 않았습니다.
He drinks every day, and whenever he get drunk, he curses, he dusts all away until he sleeps.
그리고 평범한 중학교 1학년생이었던 저에게 유일한 원수는 바로 술에 취한 아버지뿐이었습니다.
And so my most critical enemies that I have in my life was my dad when he gets drunk.
제가 설교 말씀을 듣고 그 말씀을 기억하고 있던 어느 날.
So when I was listening to the message from the pastor about love your enemy, 그날, all of a sudden I start to remember what God is saying about the love your enemy.
그날도 어김없이 아버지께서는 술에 취하신 상태였습니다.
And so just like any other normal day, My dad was drunk.
그리고 저는 제 방에서 조용히 불을 끄고 이불에 머리를 뒤집었었습니다.
And that day, I went to my room. I turned off the light. I put a blanket over my head.
그리고 아버지를 위해 기도하기 시작했습니다.
But one thing that different was that I started to pray for my dad that day.
예수님께서 원수를 사랑하라고 하신 것 같이,
just like what Jesus said, to love your enemy.
제가 저의 아버지의 이러한 모습조차도 사랑하겠습니다.
And I tell God, God, if you want me to love my dad, even though he's drunk, I will love him as he is.
저희 아버지께서 술에서 깨어나 회복이 되고 하나님의 나라를 알 수 있도록 이끌어 주세요.
God, help him to know you. Help him to understand who you are.
그러자 신기한 일이 일어났습니다.
Then the miracle happened.
거실에 술에 취해 욕설하고 계신 아버지께서 갑자기 조용해지시더니 불을 끄고 주무시는 것이었습니다.
My dad was drunk and using all kinds of profanity in a living room. All of a sudden, he shuts up, went into the room, and started to sleep.
아직 저녁 8시인데도 불구하고 말이죠.
It's only 8 p.m.
다음 날도.
And next day.
그 다음 날도.
The next day, same thing happens.
또 다른 날도.
And then. Next day, same thing happens.
아버지가 술에 취하셔서 가족이 힘들 때면,
and so when my dad is drunk and doing these hard things,
저는 아버지를 위해 하나님께 기도했습니다.
Then I start to pray for my dad.
그리고 하나님께서는 제 기도에 응답하여 주셔서,
and every single time God answered my prayer and put my dad to sleep.
술에 취하신 아버지를 술에 깰 수 있도록. 잠에 취하게 만들어 주셨습니다.
And so God wake him up from drunkenness and put him to sleep.
이러한 과정이 반복되다 보니 아버지께서도 점점 빈도가 줄어들기 시작했습니다.
And then afterwards, he slowly stopped drinking.
술을 이전보다도 적게 드시며,
And then he starts shrinking his drunkenness.
혹여나 취하시더라도 가족들에게 욕설하기를 멈추시는 모습을 보이게 되셨습니다.
And even though he get drunk, he stopped cursing.
저는 그때 제 기도를 들어주신 하나님께 너무 감사했습니다.
And then I start to realize there's God and start to thank him.
나를 위한 기도가 아닌 다른 사람을 위한.
The prayer wasn't for me, even though it's for my dad.
즉 예수님이 가르쳐 주신 기도를 하나님께 드릴 때면
So when I pray the prayer what Jesus have taught me to pray.
하나님께서 응답해 주신다는 것을 깨닫게 되었습니다.
Realize that God is real and he does answer that prayer.
이후로도 다양한 말씀과 경험을 통해
And so afterwards when I start trying God and ask him and pray
저는 하나님을 더욱 더 깊게 알게 되었습니다.
I experience him and I start to know him more.
어릴 적 예배 시간을 가장 허투루 보냈던 아이는
A person that who think that worship service was so useless.
하루하루를 말씀에 귀 기울이고
And I start to now listening to God's word.
교회와 하나님의 나라를 위해 봉사와 헌신을 하는 지금의 저로 자라나게 되었습니다.
That God make me who I am to become a person who have a vision and to love God and have a relationship with Jesus.
감사합니다.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. You know, when I started the Korean ministry, as you guys see that I'm Korean, a Korean who doesn't have hair, right? You know, when I went to Mexico, there was a lot of people that who remember me because I used to go there every year for about past 10 years. And from 1995 to all the way to 2020, right before I left to go to Korea. And he said, I remember you, so Brother Oscar started a Bible college at the time. And he said, and I used to go there with the students or myself to lecture and do all those things. And then one of the, Brother Mario, the family that you saw in the video, he was a student at the time. And he said, I remember you. He said, I remember you who had a hair back then. He don't have hair anymore. And I could not believe what God had done to his life. Because now he has a great family. All his family serving God, his children. And now he planning a church. And serving the Lord. You know, and when I went to see what God has done to a person, people, that Brother Oscar have planted the word of God in their life and how they change and how God is changing the life of the people in Mexico. And I know that in the long term, it's going to change the nation. You know, for a long time, when I started a Korean ministry and God called me into North Korea, I have a very critical mindset toward the Koreans. Because I said, man, they take the education like the biggest idol they have. You know, and I have so many complaints about what Korea are not and the things that they have. But when I met these young people, and when I had a chance to spend time with them, and spend time with their pastor, and Pastor Lim, and all those people in Korea, God have changed my mind. God said, this nation still has a hope. I have worked with this nation, and God have blessed this nation. I want you guys to understand and know this very carefully. And I could see some of the Koreans are here on the front. So I want you guys to understand and know that Korea is not blessed because of K-pop. Okay? Korea is not blessed just because of all those things that the musical culture all they have. Korea is blessed because they serve Jesus and they have a church. And there's someone who bled and prayed and died for that nation in the past. And that is the reason why this nation is blessed. And God is speaking to my heart as I'm looking at these young people. God said, you got to teach them how to do that. And you have to be the one to show that kind of example to do that. I want you guys to understand, I live in the best state in the nation. I went to Texas, I said, like, oh my God, 100 degrees. I went off to Alaska, so cold. Oh my goodness. I came to Hawaii, this is the perfect temperature that you could ever have. And it has the best air quality in the world. You guys know that, right? But my prayer is that God, don't let me die in Hawaii. My prayer is that God, help me to do your will. Don't let me be so comfortable that don't let me die here. But God, help me to die where you want me to die, in a field that you want me to die in. What is our vision anyway, young people? Why are you guys living for? What is your whole vision for your living? To catch the biggest wave that you could have in the North Shore? I'm sorry. That might be a good thing, but that's not enough for me. I wanted to catch the biggest wave, what the Holy Spirit can offer me in my life. And that means it might cost my life. All my life can be sacrificed, but it's okay. If I could die for Jesus, I think that's worthwhile. That is the best thing that you could do for your life. I love that. God, remind me that again. When I went down to Mexico and saw Brother Oscar giving himself to the Lord. All these young people were good young people, but they were challenged by Brother Oscar. Give it all for Jesus. You know, in the video, do you guys know that? I have no idea. But Brother Oscar actually got a Facebook. He does a Facebook podcast. And he was giving us an interview to all of us. And it actually has about close to 1 million followers, I think. You know, and he, all those Hispanic areas, people, kids, and all other, kids in America. And talk about the critical issues about, you know, sex before marriage, homosexualities. All those things that, you know, we don't want to talk about. Or kind of saying that, hey, this is my personal stuff. Don't mess with us on that part. But did you guys know that God is a personal God? If you don't make him a personal God in your life, then he's not your God at all. So he wants you to step into your life and become a personal to you. That's why he is the one that made your life, to make the marriage, made sex, made those things in your life. And he wants you to have the best out of the things that he had made. He wants to be your personal God. And here we are. We say to ourselves, I said, God, leave us alone. He can, and he will. If you do that to him, because this is your choice. You know, one of the things that I did was when I went to Seattle, there was the missionary who went to Uzbekistan. And they're a good friend of mine. He said, hey, can you talk to my kids? And there was one girl who's about 28 years old, working with autistic kids and doing all those things. Really great things that she was doing. But she had a huge argument with his dad because she was dating a non-Christian. So mom brought me over, served me a free lunch. There's a cost to every free lunch. You guys know that for the minister? And want me to talk to her. And she didn't tell me what subject. And then she was telling me all this thing, autistic, and I said, oh, wow, that's awesome. And she started telling me, and she said, You know, I'm dating this guy. He's a really good guy. You know, he worked with me. His father, grandfather was a preacher. And she said, but he's not Christian. What do you think about it, Pastor Hong? What do you think I said? I think I met her. I told her this. I said, I just wanted to tell you what Bible said. Because Bible clearly said you should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The marriage is not for the mission field. You don't marry just to be, you know, bring unbelievers. You could do that outside of your marriage. Do you guys know that statistically? This is statistic, by the way. Statistically, the people who marry to unbeliever Christians, you have a 10% statistic that you could bring them to Christ. 10%. 90% of the time, you're not going to be successful. So I asked her this. I said, if you have a business and there is a way that you could do have a 90% success rate and you only got 10% success rate, which one would you take? I know what you're going to say. You're going to take, of course, 90%. If you do that, then why would you want to take or important as marriage for the success rate of 10%? She couldn't say anything. But I told her this. Look at her. I said, hey, I love you. I'm using the tactic of what Pastor John always do. You know, I love you. And he means it, I know. I love you. You're adults. And you have your own choice. So you have to make a choice. Which one would you want to go? Way God wants you or way you want to go? That's your choice. Young people, you know what? Throughout the whole 2 weeks when I was in Mexico and Texas, that's what I heard. What choice would you want to make for your life? Or Solomon, as incredible as he was, and God blessed him. At the end of his life, he wrote Ecclesiastes. And he said this, I did all this in my life. And all those things are so vain without God. So young people, serve God while you are young. That was the last word what Solomon had said. It's your choice, guys. But God said, I put life and death before you in Deuteronomy. And he said, but choose life. That is a plea of God unto your life. So I want to tell you guys, our young people, today you heard a message from your own fellow young people and saying, choose Jesus today. Amen? Choose Jesus. Kui, can you come and play something? Can we all stand? I want all the young people here who is 30 and under to come over here to the altar. Can we do that? 30 and under. Except Pastor John. 30 and under. Come on, let's go. Come over here. Come to the front. We're going to have a service of impartation. I preached about impartation last time, but we're actually going to do some impartation today. Come on, guys. Young people, come over here. All right, praise the Lord.